Letters to Daniel, Volume 1. Letter 6-2. On Trial. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2012, in the first month, on the seventh day of the first month.
Any attempt at demonstrations will weigh against you with the court. And this time, my instrumentality is unbreakable.
I've had enough of your games.
Oh, the absurdity of these inferior beings.
And now, Captain James Kirk, you stand accused of the high crime of treason against the superior authority, conspiracy, and the attempt to foment insurrection. How do you plead?
I haven't come to plead in your court, Trelane.
I warn you, anything you might say has already been taken down in evidence against you.
I've come for one purpose, to get back my ship.
Irrelevant.
We've made you angry with our will to survive, have we?
Uncalled for.
Then vent your anger on me alone. I was the one that led the others. I was the one that shot out your mirror machine.
And did you really think that was the only medium of instrumentality at my command?
I took that chance. I'm willing to pay the price for chancing wrong.
Oh, then you do admit to the charge.
Yes, anything. Just allow the Enterprise to continue its journey.
Ah.
You pompous...
Immaterial!
Those people have done you no harm.
Inadmissible.
We're living beings, not playthings for your amusement.
Silence! This trial is over. You are guilty. On all counts, you are guilty. And according to your own laws, this court has no choice in fixing punishment. You will hang by the neck, Captain, until you are dead, dead, dead.
Captain's log. Stardate 2126.3. First Officer Spock reporting. Still no word from Captain Kirk on the surface below us. Waiting time is almost up. I will soon be forced to attempt departure as per instructions.
Dear Dan, the first meeting with the manager and the HR lady was in the morning in the middle of the week. I informed both of them that I would be getting a doctor's note detailing why I needed to listen to audio while I worked, and that I needed to wear clothing that breathed better than the issued uniforms, and that I needed to use a string mop and bucket under certain conditions. They wanted to argue and did not hear the part of my getting a doctor's letter. All I could do was nod my head and say, okay, to whatever. So I left the meeting with them assuming that I would adhere to their restrictions. The next Monday morning, I went to my doctor's office and picked up the ADA letter, see attached, redacted copy. It authorized everything I had asked for in my request, just like the Lord said it would. I emailed a scanned copy to the manager and supervisor. The next week, I was working again in G6D, and the manager came walking through in the morning. Since I had the ADA letter and had forwarded a copy to the manager, I thought nothing of wearing scrubs and listening to my iPod. Romanus, said the manager, I see you are not wearing the issued uniform and you are using headphones. This is bordering on insubordination. He said a few more things and turned to go. P8, I said, I have a doctor's letter. Doesn't that carry any weight with you at all? And with a look of sudden confusion on his face, he said aloud to me, I don't have any experience in this. I'll have to talk with HR. The manager then left. Later on, he paged me and apologized for accusing me of becoming insubordinate. All this was after I had emailed him the ADA letter copy one or two days earlier. A few days later, there was another meeting with HR in order to review my ADA letter. The HR lady said that she would need to set up a conference call with my doctor to confirm what he wrote. About a week later, we had the conference call. The HR lady, the manager, my doctor, and me. We discussed every point on the letter my doctor wrote. At the end of the conversation, I was informed that a final decision would be made in writing from HR within a few days. We all said our goodbyes and finished the call. A few days later, I was summoned to the last meeting. It had been decided that I could use my headphones, wear scrubs, and use the work carts I had requested. But using the mop was still up in the air. I once again explained to the manager what I needed a mop for and sort of showed him with a mop handle that he had in the office. Then he said, "I finally see what you are talking about." Later, just after the meeting was over, the manager relented and said I could use the mop and bucket. After that, HR informed me that I was to meet with their contracted workplace ergonomic specialist to go over how I did my job. When the ergo guy arrived, I showed him what I did and how I used the mop. He took some pictures, some notes, and left. As a final insult from Satan, it was included in the agreement that there was to be a series of follow-up reviews to see how everything was going. The follow-up meetings never occurred, nor have I had any more discussion with the manager or the HR lady about these matters. Satan was sore afraid of this whole thing, because he knew better than I what was coming. The Lord revealed something that began only about 2 months ago. I will write about this in detail later. One more note. The devil influenced the agreement in such a way as to have the following line included in order to intimidate me from listening to whatever I wanted to. "We expect that you listen to subject matter that adheres to G6's policies and procedures." See Agreement Letter, Redacted Copy, and Attachments Folder. I resist this by ignoring it, as I do not agree to it. Blessings. Romanus Theophilus.
Jesus, your name is lifted high. Jesus. to walking in light, and now I can see the hope that I have, sure and steadfast, has bound my wandering heart to thee. So I'm singing amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.